Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 16th of April, recording at 9:15 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, very quiet. The European stock markets, steady gains, all above 1%, and most of them closer to 2%. And Wall Street, having spent a fair proportion of the day showing a modest loss, closed near the higher side of the range. The S&P was up 1.5% here at 865. What a rally when you consider that we had that low down at 666. Not all that long ago, last month. Okay. What else has gone on here today? Long-dated government bonds. We saw selling pressure in the in the U.S. Treasuries, also a bit in the bunds, and precious metals were very weak in here today. Well, gold and silver were. Silver fell back to the lower side of its current range once again. That's down to 1220 on the May contract. And we have gold bullion trading at 875 as I speak. Crude oil, a little bit firmer at $50. Natural gas a bit softer. Soybeans were firm in here again today, but most other commodities were a little weaker. Copper's amazing run it just touched a new high, but then closed with a small decline on the day. Currently at 218 on the spot position. And U.S. dollar, it was a little bit firmer in here today. But if we take the U.S. dollar index, where is it? It's 85 and a quarter, so it's fairly quiet, actually. All right. So what's going on here overall? Well, the big story is, of course, the action that we're seeing in global stock markets. And not surprisingly, many investors are encouraged by the rally that we've seen to date. How could they not be? Except the ones that are entirely in cash, they're discouraged by it. A fair number of people have been saying that it's nothing but a bear market rally and that the market will go back down and take out its lows. Invariably, they say this for fundamental reasons. And as I say, rather than technical reasons, because it would be hard to justify technical reasons in here at this stage. Lots of people say buy the dips. Even more warn that we're likely to see a reaction. Now, our stance on this is that if we were to see a good rally as we expected last month, that it would be very persistent, and this is about as persistent as it gets. We're into the sixth consecutive week of a rally, and the percentage gains have been huge. And this has included breakouts from base formations by favorite Fuller Money themes from emerging Asia, most of emerging Asia, to the South American resources markets, but everything's done well. No market has failed to show a significant move. No market is testing its lows. Where we had downward breaks in February and early March, we've had downside failures, and most of those stock markets, including those of Wall Street, have rallied back up to take out some previous rally highs, or to at least test them. So again, a very impressive technical action overall. Now, technically, Technically, these trends are very orderly. This is not typical action that we see during bear market rallies, where you tend to get a lot of volatility. Very choppy action. Volatility is actually declining. Now, VIX, I'm just going to put that up because I didn't check that here earlier today. VIX is drifting down. It's at 35.79. And remember, it ranged above 40 for really quite a long time, from virtually all of this year, as a matter of fact. But it has broken down. Previously, you may recall when this has been discussed, I've described it as a top formation, a big type 3 top with its peak in October. And then we had a lot of right-hand extension earlier this year, and it's broken downwards once again. So volume continues to decline. And getting back to this global stock market rally, the orderly nature of the rally does not make people more nervous, of course. It instills confidence, and so it should. And if you look at the daily charts, and I think tomorrow I'll post a lot of charts on the site, but you of course can look in the library at any time and review the world or the world that's of interest to you. But what we're seeing with most of these, if you look at the daily charts, you'll see a little step sequence where the market will go sideways for a few days and then it'll take another step up, and then the indice will go sideways for a few more days and another step up. So today's rallies, we're just continuing those overall upward trends within the small orderly step sequence, the type of trend. Now that makes it particularly easy to monitor, because when this eventually spills over into a genuine reaction, we'll see downward dynamics, we'll see perhaps upside failures out of some of those little steps, we will see indices fall beneath the lower side of their most recent step and pressure the step immediately below it. So it'll look really quite different overall. Now, at Fuller Money, we don't tell the market how far it should go. We monitor it and study the action very, very carefully. And I can say emphatically today that there's nothing that's evident on the technical action that suggests that this rally is over. Yes, 6 weeks on the trot is an eyebrow raiser. Yes, Friday is coming up tomorrow, and people may well want to take some profits in here. Yes, short-term indicators are overbought. Yes, there are still scary things in the closets, particularly in the Western stock markets. But the technical action has been absolutely superb. It doesn't look anything like bear market rally technical action, as I said before. What it does do is confirm the Fuller Money hypothesis back from October and November. And that was basically that the action that we had seen in that traumatic sell-off was climactic. When can you last recall investors being so terrified? So big selling climax. But because this was a financial crisis and the market had crashed, there was very likely to be a lengthy convalescence, ranging reversion to the mean. Took a little bit of stick from some people over that, as Wall Street had a drifting downward bias, but it was never going to be a leader. Wall Street was the epicenter, or one of the two epicenters, of the whole credit and insolvency crisis. And while Wall Street was drifting with a slight downward bias, it took it to new lows in late February and early March on the S&P and on the Dow, not on the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ did not break down through its November low. But while, as I say, Wall Street and most other Western markets were underperforming and people were fixated on those, at Fuller Money, as you know, we hammered away about the relative performance of China. which was most likely to be the leader on the upside. And why? Well, to review those reasons, because China was tightening its monetary policy to curb its stock market bubble back in 2007, before many people, if any, knew that we had a big banking crisis, and most stock markets were still hitting new highs back then. China was really tightening its monetary policy to curb its property and stock market bubbles, and it did so very effectively, probably more effectively than it wanted to, because China also was caught up in the whole dramatic global overall sell-off. But it hit its low in October. The government was stimulating again before we were really seeing that sort of action in the West. And China's banking sector never shared any of the troubles that we saw with the Western banking sector. And China is financing its stimulative packages out of its current account surplus, rather than issuing tons of additional debt. So it was always a candidate to lead, and fortunately, it has. And you can see that very much on the charts, and you can see the strength of the resources sectors. So the things that should be leading are leading. And the things that have been lagging, that could still cause trouble, have seen very good rebounds recently. Okay, what else is going on here? Well, in the currency markets, I've always said you get mostly ranging activity in the currency markets, but my hunch is that the big stories are that the U.S. dollar, which really is the only currency that hasn't been whacked. Okay, it was whacked early on and was quite weak into last July, and then the rally commenced with an upside breakout in August, and the rest you know. Quite a strong performance. It's now looking toppy. It looks to me as if it's developing an overall top formation. So I think the next significant move is on the downside. I don't expect it to collapse. I've never expected it to collapse. But I don't think it'll stay up at these levels for both technical and fundamental reasons. The currencies we like are some of the ones that were really bashed during the sell-off. Those were resources currencies, and those were Asian emerging market currencies, and things like the Indian rupee and the Brazilian real. Those are the currencies that that I like. And going back to gold, well, hard money, the ultimate currency, but of course it has a fluctuating price because sentiment waxes and wanes towards gold. And daily, I've described, as is Owen, that gold is in an awkward period here, because the Armageddon buyers, predictably, have been drifting away once the economic news began to look less desperate, and more importantly, the stock market activity began to look really much more encouraging. So they've been drifting away. And then there are seasonal factors, then there's the scrap, and the hard money buyers, I think they're not troubled by this. I think they're probably those who would consider adding to their positions, their bullion positions, and also silver, which is just a high beta proxy for gold. They're my guess is that more of them are pleased rather than concerned by this easing action. But technically, as I've said, gold still looks like an underperformer here in the short term, still looks a little vulnerable. Excuse me, going to take off the headset and cough. Sorry about that. Gold still drifting, easing in this corrective consolidation. I don't think it'll go much lower, but I can't say that it's reached its reaction low. And confirmation that gold is ascendant once again will occur when we see it break above the $900 level with a little bit of gusto. I expect that to happen, but I don't know whether it's going to be next week, probably not, or whether it's going to be 3 or 4 months from now. We'll just have to see. I'm content to hold on to some gold. I don't have a big position in futures, but I never want to be I very seldom want to be totally out of that market. The only time I want to be totally out of it is when prices have actually been accelerating upwards dramatically. But I have more platinum than I do gold, and until yesterday I had more silver than I did, or was it the day before? I can't remember when I took a partial profit on my copper. So I had more copper and definitely more platinum than gold and silver. But I will ride it out. I will roll my May silver forward, and the spread bet position is going to expire quite soon. And but I'm not increasing it because I'm spoiled for choice. As I've said before, and looking around at global stock markets, and as Owen and I have said on so many occasions, we like to view markets from the perspective, and recommend this to all subscribers, view global markets from the perspective of a judge in an international beauty contest. And therefore, I want the stock markets that are leading on a relative strength basis. I want the commodities that are leading on a relative strength basis. Same thing with currencies. And so there's a lot to choose from. And of course, the return of confidence, sort of, to stock markets is one reason. Where the inverse mirror of that is, of course, the softness that we see now in the bullion market. So I think that's pretty much it. The big story overall is, of course, the sixth week of a global stock market rally. And that's a good note to end on. Roll on Friday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.